This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Southwest Kia is the home of 250 vehicles at 250 down and 250 a month. Visit southwestkia.com.
Guys, October 26th, Fanniversary is coming up. Get ready for Fanniversary. Yeah.
Have they sent out the email for that yet?
No, but there have been promos running. Okay. So, and that's going to be, I do believe it's going to be at Texas Live again.
It is.
And I'm looking forward to it. I can't tell you all the names right now, but Autograph Seekers, be ready. It's going to be one of your favorite days. And last year was awesome, too. We had a ton of, Marty Turco.
Errol Spence was
out there. Errol Spence was there. It was a huge day, and there are a lot of big names that are going to be out at Fanniversary October 26th. So get ready for that one. We got Brian Broaddus in studio right now. He's one of our very happy soda teammates here as well.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
He looks fantastic.
Appreciate that, guys.
Broaddus, I do need to get a different Proud Brian photo because every time you come on, I want to throw a picture up.
Yeah.
And the other one is not you anymore.
No,
it's a completely different guy.
It's funny. David Hillman wants me to take a Proud Brian, and I still have that shirt. So I'm gonna take a Proud Brian picture, like on the sideline. I'm gonna act like I'm like really proud of
Mo, Cheeto.
I'm proud of Mo Claiborne, Cheeto, whoever. And we're gonna take a different picture there. So that was. If you guys knew what I was thinking, did I ever tell you what I was thinking?
No. Yeah, I've used that picture in so many different forms.
I was honestly there, and I looked at him, and as he's walking by, I go, and I hope I could say this, but I'll bleep it out. I go, it's about effing time. That's what I was thinking. Seriously, I was looking at him with
tremendous.
That smile. I was looking at you look at my face.
You son of a, it took you this long.
And I said, it's about, and I was thinking, I go, it's about effing time. That's what I said. So in my mind, and that's why I had that funny look on my face when it got taken.
That is amazing. I love that. Yeah. I love the insight. That's what we always get from Broaddus. Yeah. And then especially when we hit it about 3 a.m., then the insight really starts to come out.
I cannot wait. Peace-a-thon is one of my favorite events that I get to do during the year. I love that 4 hours. You know, it's just such a – it's so much fun because we have so much interaction, not only with us in the studio, but with the Tolos out there as well. It's
absolutely.
So much fun.
We want to interact with the Tolos some more. You got questions, text them at 877-881-1053. In the meantime, I was curious. I saw an article that there was a report coming out, and several people think this, and my initial thought was, with the ownership and the quality of the team, sure, that the Redskins is the worst head coaching job in the NFL. Where do you think you would fall on this if you had to rank and say which opportunity would be the worst? Not that you wouldn't take it anyway because it's an NFL coaching job, but...
Yeah, it's one of the 32.
Exactly.
So you have to look at it that way. You know what? I was kind of going through my mind and thinking about the teams that, you know... I mean, I know Brian Flores just got the job in Miami, and I really like... Ugh. I like Chris Greer, who's their GM. He's a guy that grew up with me, and... So I know him. I think he's going to...
Everybody you grew up with ended up being super successful in football,
I feel like. we were all 27 years old, and now we're all 55. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
You look better than the rest of them.
I'm trying my best. I really am. But I think the Washington Redskins job... You know, I talked to Scott McLuhan about that for a long time. And Scott really... You know, with the way everything went down at the end, you know, with the Redskins trying to smear him because of the drinking problems and stuff like that... You know, Scott was saying, you know, he had been to Seattle. He'd been in Green Bay. He'd been, you know, he'd worked some jobs. He knew the league pretty well. But he was kind of, you know, in a way like, you know, I didn't get bothered a whole heck of a lot. You know, I was able to do my job and, you know, they trusted me on some stuff. It's just, he goes, it was Bruce Allen then started to interfere with what's going on. And that I think that's what happens to most people that work. I think Jay Gruden did a good job of working with Bruce to a point, you know, and then it becomes like, okay, we can't have you get the credit anymore. We can't, you know, Bruce is one of those guys, you know, an egomaniac when it comes to this stuff. And, you know, that's a problem. If you work for an organization where the guy at the very top has this huge ego where he, you know, he just will not allow the creative people to do anything, you know, or the people that know. It's hard to work that way. It's just really hard. I mean, I my experience now is with working with the Cowboys with Derek Eagleton. Okay.
Yeah.
And Derek is a great boss because, you know, he knows that I'm liable to say something crazy, or mm-hmm. I'm liable to write something crazy, or I'm liable to, but he knows I'm honest. He knows I mean well and I'm hardworking and all that, but he gives us the ability to be creative. Well, and I think that's important. If, as a manager or a head of an organization, you have to allow the people underneath you to be creative and to grow that way. And I don't think Bruce Allen allows anything like that to happen with the Redskins.
The obvious question then from the other part of the Cowboys, then, you do not feel as though Jerry's ego prevents any such creative juices from flowing.
No, I think he lets Will McClay do his job. You know, I think he and Stephen Jones, and yeah, they might have the final say, but they trust their scouts. I mean, like I said, Jerry, there's no way in hell that Jerry wants to trade a first-round pick for a wide receiver.
But
he's traded 3 first-round picks in his career for wide receivers.
Yeah.
2 for Joey Galloway, yep, and 1 for Roy Williams. So think about that. I mean, someone goes up to him and goes, Jerry, hey, we got to make the trade for this wide receiver. What do we have to give up? First round.
You shut your damn mouth.
Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, that's trust.
Oh, man.
Because he was part of the decision to go by receiver by committee.
Yeah.
He's part of that. So now you have to convince him, like, well, hey, boss, I hate to break it to you, but this receiver by committee ain't working too well. Yeah, I can see. What do we have to do? Boom. Let's trade this. We got an opportunity, you know. And I think that's where, Jerry and Steven – excel a lot. They'll give you rope to hang yourself if you want. They really will. You know, now again, Will's done a great job of managing the triangle. The Joneses at the top, the scouts on one corner, and then the coaches on the other corner. He stays in the middle of the triangle, and he does a great job of managing all those groups.
From the 2-4, I am also really curious about this. I don't know if we've ever discussed this at length. Are you for or against adding more games to the NFL season? I feel like we might have touched on this, but I don't know how much we've really talked about it.
Yeah, you know what? It's hard enough as a personnel guy when you're sitting there and you're watching your team and you're in week 14 and you're saying, okay, and you know your emergency board is completely wiped out. And then people are starting to bring up their practice squad players. You can't poach anybody off. So now you're in trouble. Maybe you lose a guy. You know, I just think, like, I tell you what, if adding games meant taking away preseason games, then I'm all for it. I am all for it because nothing worse than losing guys in the preseason. There's absolutely nothing worse than sitting there and watching your team get just destroyed in a preseason game when a guy blows out his knee, wrecks his shoulder. You know, whatever could happen to a guy. I hate that. That used to drive me nuts. I used to say, every play, please get up, please get up. Okay, please get up, please get up. Every play. You know, and then, you know, now you're playing for these things and you're going, man, I can't. But people will say, well, heck, Brian, one of the games, they don't even play anybody anymore. The last one, it's any time you're playing these games where it's preseason and it means nothing. That's the thing that bothers me the most.
From the 254, which head coach hire would worry you the most for the Redskins if you're looking at what, or are they just such a bad organization?
Well, you have to think about they're going to probably go with an offensive-minded coach because of that quarterback, right? That's whoever gets hired there is going to have to convince ownership.
Is that still the way the world works? Did the Dolphins not, or the Cardinals not set precedent that maybe they'll just be like, the hell with it and try to get Tua?
Yeah, I think that to me that if you're, I would go the Giants approach myself. You know,
sure.
The Giants approach when they went Barkley and then the quarterback.
Yeah.
I think you could kind of help yourself.
Okay.
I think the Redskins drafted, you know, I think they're capable of drafting because, you know, you look at their defensive line with what they got with Allen and Sweat and, you know, those guys are, you know, pretty good,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as, you know, the way they kind of structured things. But if I'm the owner and I feel like that Haskins is my guy, you know, if I feel like he's my guy, then my first question is, okay, this is my quarterback. How do you help my quarterback? Can you help my quarterback? give me an idea of how you're going to make this work with my quarterback, you know, because, you know, that to me, I don't think ownership was really committed to Josh Rosen. I think the Redskins ownership is committed to Haskins. I really do.
This is a good one too, because it goes along with something else. Is Rod's under tackle scheme outdated? Lord, if I knew the flex would be effective in this day and age, I'd be screaming for it. And I think that there's a very similar style defense in Indianapolis that just shut down the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's, you know, Matt Eberflus has done a really good job with that. You know, now people will say, some people will say, well, hey, all the single high teams, people are running on them. You know, if you look at, people say, well, what about Seattle? What about Atlanta? What, you know, all these teams that play this style of defense, you know, have had some problems. And, you know, that's kind of one of those things that I don't think it's outdated. I feel like, though, that, you know, the really good team, a lot of this is the personnel you have. You know, if you're Rod Marinelli and you've got Booger McFarland at the one technique, Warren Sapp at the three, and you got Simeon Rice as one of your outside rushers, you know, and you got Brooks in the middle at Mike linebacker, you've got Rondé Barber playing one of the corners. You know,
yay.
Is your system outdated, or do you just have
the best talent?
Yeah, you just have the best talent. Think about the things he did in Chicago, you know, with
Tommy Harris.
With Harris, Melton. Urlacher,
yep.
Peanut Tillman. Think about that whole group. That to me is what it's all about. You know, your system, you can play any scheme you want. Make sure the players you got fit the scheme, but make sure those players can help you win with that scheme.
How much of a hand does he have in that? Because I feel like
huge.
He's swung
huge.
And missed on a couple of these things,
you know,
and that's his own fault.
Absolutely, and he'll admit it. He'll admit that. You know, I've talked to him before. Rod Marinelli, I went up to him just, I think it was 2 days ago, and I said, hey, you know, I'm really sorry the jerks like me have to talk about the way you guys are playing. He goes, it's part of the job. It's part of the job. You know, you got to take the good with the bad, and you just keep going. He didn't say, oh, we block out all that noise, and because that's a lie.
We're all human. Yeah.
We're all human. Trust me, when people rip my rear at DallasCowboys.com for stuff like, oh, your videos suck, you know, that story you wrote sucked, you know.
We're all
human. You know, you feel that. But he was very honest. He says, hey, it's part of the business. You know, if we're not playing good run defense, that's on me. Some of these guys got big shoulders. They really, really do. That's why I was talking about earlier myself. Maybe I came out and said, hey, this linebacking corps is one of the best in the National Football League. You know, these corners, some of the best, you know.
On paper, it all looked right.
Yeah. But you know what? We got, we're a quarter through the season. Let's see.
I did have a real quick question and maybe a short answer here.
Sure.
When it comes to Rashard, Marinelli, who makes the calls on if something needs to change? Is it Rashard or?
I'm not pulling a Mickey Spagnola here and riding the fence on you, because Mickey will do that. And I love you, Mickey, if you're listening, driving
around.
You
better say that.
No, I do. Mickey and I get along great. We really do. I love fighting with him, though. It makes for a lot of fun because he won't give up. But yeah, I think to me, this is honestly one of those things where they will sit down and they'll say, Chris will say, hey, Rod, really, what do you think? He goes, well, you know, this is where I think we're hurting ourselves.
Okay.
I think they do a really good job with that in this organization. I think there's a lot of good conversation between the coaches on what they need to do. Garrett talks about it all the time, and you think, it's just lip service. But talking to people within the organization, they talk about the communication among the coaches and how they come to decisions. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you got some good communicators on that staff.
I want to make sure we get you out on a high. I figured you'd enjoy this question from the 817. Is there a seasoning you prefer for crawfish? And do you purge with salt or just rinse?
Please don't do anything with salt as far as purging. You're going to kill the crawfish. Don't do that. Just naturally get a cooler and run it till the water's clear. It's going to take you 3-4 times maybe, but you'll notice, just open up the spout on the back end, and when you see it start to run clear, you know your crawfish are clean. Please don't throw salt in there. That's just going to kill the crawfish. You don't want dead crawfish. You boil a dead crawfish, they taste terrible, okay? My favorite seasoning is Zatarain's.
Yeah.
Zatarain's is a New Orleans product that is...
Of course. You know, I love New Orleans.
Yes, yeah. I do.
So the Zatarain's product, they have it in a couple flavors. Actually, Walmart here has it, or you can order it online from Zatarain's. They have an extra spicy, and then they just have a regular boil. You can use the liquids are really good too. The liquids with the powder, but I always use Slap Your Mama is one that people like. I don't really recommend that one too much, but I feel like though that, you know, if you have that only to use from, that's fine. But I would always go with Zatarain's.
In your face, Kevin.
I'm not against any of that. Excellent content across the board,
thank
as
you.
Always.
Appreciate you guys having me out there.
For sure. At Brian Broaddus on Twitter. If you want to ask more crawfish-based questions and less questions that annoy the crap out of him, I'm sure that would be appreciated. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Gridiron Gravy. Yet another reason to root for Lamar Jackson. Plus, can you believe it? Even more on Antonio Brown, who's still running his mouth.
There's no way.
Next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.